Old City Sports Talk with Rob Mascio.
Hey everybody, welcome to Bold City Sports Talk. My name is Rob. With me is my good buddy Ben. Ben, how you doing today?
Awesome, man. How about yourself?
Doing good, doing good. I wanted to start off the show in fine fashion. Somebody's calling in. You know who it is. Ladies and gentlemen, Coach O.
Go Tigers.
Coach, how you doing today, buddy?
Go Tigers. Go Tigers. Hold that tiger.
All right. He's already hung up, and for good reason, Coach O starting off the show. LSU Tigers, number one. The new college football playoff rankings came out on Tuesday. LSU, number one, followed by the Ohio State University. Clemson is three. And what a lot of people are kind of shocked about, Georgia at four and Alabama at five. Georgia. Ben, you had a good take on Georgia being number four. Why don't you give me a quick briefing on your thought process there on Georgia being four?
Yeah. So I mean, basically, what it boils down to is Georgia's got better wins on the year than Alabama does. I mean, they've got two top 10 wins. And at the time is when it mattered, because at the time Notre Dame was ranked in the top 10. At the time they beat Florida, Florida was in the top 10. So,
right.
You know, you look at Alabama's body of work,
mm-hmm.
and you're sitting there going, well, where's the big wins on their schedule? And
right.
They don't have any yet. I mean, but there's hope for them because they got a pretty loaded back half of their schedule, which in my personal opinion, I don't see them losing any of those games. I feel like they'll probably win out, but you know, there's always that shaky against the Auburn Tigers in the Iron Bowl.
Yeah.
So, you know, could they pull the upset? You know, it's very, very possible.
Mm-hmm.
Anything's possible in college football. I mean, look at the kicks from a couple years ago when, you know, it was Alabama's year and they were destined to win in 13, and you know, the football gods had plans that day, and lo and behold, we have that. That awesome play and awesome awesome, you know, outcome for that game. So, you know, overall, the top four generally is really I think it's pretty solid. I don't have any complaints about it.
Sure.
I really agree with Ohio State being in there, even though they, you know, haven't had but maybe one signature win this year against Wisconsin. I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got that big matchup against Penn State coming up, so that could be, you know, a game to, you know, throw a feather in their cap for reasons why they're in the top or in the playoff contention. Which I think they, you know, they're getting that defensive end back who's coming off a suspension for the Penn State game, so that's going to bolster their chances and odds,
mm-hmm.
you know. But LSU, you know, rightful number one. Clemson,
yeah.
They'll win out and probably cruise right into the playoffs. I think the only two teams in there that's going to move around is a slim chance with Ohio State. And I see Georgia, you know, they got a tough matchup versus Auburn as well this weekend that they got to get past. And I believe that game is in Auburn.
It is, yep.
So, yeah, that's... Auburn's got a tough defensive line to deal with, and
mm-hmm.
But you know, Georgia's got one of the best offensive lines in the country. So, you know, we're talking about another weekend where it's going to decide the chances of another team's, you know, chances of being in that playoff talk. Because if they lose to Auburn this weekend, you know, Bama's going to hop them.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, at this point, that's it. It's pretty wild what it's boiling down to the last 3 weeks of college football, and Auburn's really got a great chance to really send some folks home, you know, unhappy.
Yeah, no, they do, and, you know, a lot of Bama fans are kind of griping that they fell out of the top four. Bama's right there. They're ready to pounce, and I agree with you. I think that Georgia-Auburn game is going to be really good this weekend, especially it being in Auburn. You know,
sure.
you cannot count an SEC team at home as generally ever an underdog. Outside Georgia taking that loss in Athens against South Carolina. But let's do a quick rundown. Oregon is sitting there at 6. Utah at 7. Minnesota jumps all the way up to 8th, 9 spot jump after beating Penn State. Penn State's right behind them at 9, and Oklahoma at 10. That's your top 10. You got Florida at 11, Auburn 12, undefeated Baylor 13, Wisconsin 14, Michigan 15, Notre Dame 16, Cincinnati 17. Been a nice little surprise, Cincinnati, this year. Their only loss coming against Ohio State. You got Memphis at 18, another good story right there. Texas at 19, previously unranked. They're back. Iowa at 20. Boise State at 21. Oklahoma State 22. Navy 23, Kansas State 24, and Appalachian State is back in the rankings, number 25 after beating South Carolina. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? I know we already kind of talked about top four. Anybody else kind of jumping out at you at all, Ben?
Well, there's the big game with Baylor and Oklahoma this weekend.
Yes, good point.
Then you've also got the Notre Dame-Navy game, which we talked about, and there's that chance that triple option haunts Notre Dame. I mean, they had a hard time with the Michigan run heavy offense just a couple weeks ago, and hey, there's a chance for that triple option. When it works to success, it can strike down even the greatest of defenses. And then the other team that I'm not gonna say that the big story is the matchup this weekend, but with Memphis, you got to really be thinking about maybe Mike Norvell is possibly headed for Tallahassee. I mean, that's a coach that they need to sincerely think about. And then let's see, we got Texas playing Iowa State this weekend.
That could be a little tricky game right there.
Yeah, very tricky game. You know, I think Iowa State's one of those teams that is very good at under Matt Campbell has done a great job with pulling off upsets. And then another peculiar game is Iowa is playing Minnesota this weekend.
Yes,
which they could very well upset Minnesota. Yes, yeah, easily one of the biggest, biggest threats to go into them having that big home field advantage. And it's like you know we've discussed in prior podcasts. If they showed on TV how far away the fans are from the bench there.
Yeah,
and
it's
almost like the fans are right on the sideline with the players. So Appalachian State with the big win against South Carolina last week. Kudos to them. That was a heck of a game.
That was
K-State's still riding happy there. Top 25, it looks like they dropped 8 spots.
You know, it was a game that I want to point out real quick. I think that could be tricky, and this one's going to be interesting to me. Not saying there's for sure any type of any worry here for Utah, but UCLA has been rolling the last 3 games.
That's a good point.
You know, and they took down ASU, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Sure.
Took down Colorado, who looked pretty promising at the beginning of this season.
Yeah. Beat Nebraska there early on.
Brian Kelly, he's got his 4 wins right now. UCLA's 4-5. They've won the last 3 games, so they're rolling. You know,
that's a good point.
Yeah, it's kind of almost peculiar to that of the Minnesota Penn State, a team that was rolling there with Minnesota, really started catching fire the last few games. And Utah is a good team. I'm not taking anything away from Utah, but I think that could be an interesting game this week. You know, something to just keep a close eye on. Not saying that this is, you know, upset city here, but
No, I'm glad you mentioned that. I didn't even think about that, but you and I've been meaning to bring that up with you as well on UCLA, because they really have been striking fire here lately, and they've been on a pretty hot little streak. I mean, maybe they've rekindled the spirit there with the old Chip Kelly offense there. Which I would love to see, man.
Me too.
I'll tell you what, one of the greatest times, I think, in college football is watching that Oregon team just absolutely eat an offense.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, you know, you had the Spurrier offenses back in the 90s, and Kelly comes into college football with Oregon and absolutely just blows everybody by surprise on what they're able to do.
Set the world on fire. College football changed forever when Chip Kelly really just started. the RPO. I mean, you know, he just made it just start spreading out defense. People are like, what is going on Oregon?
Yeah.
But let's jump on
him and Urban.
Yeah.
Him and Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
Definitely godfathers behind, you know, the old spread. And in a lot of ways, I think they kind of came and lit the college football world on fire around the same time. And it's developed into what we know of it today. And I mean, another thing that to kind of, you know, to branch off of that, look at what we saw with the LSU-Alabama game this past week. And typically that's a very boring, slow game. It's low scoring, not a whole lot of offense. It seems like Tua Tagovailoa has basically changed the landscape for SEC football as far as, you know, since he came in as a freshman and he throws that bomb for a touchdown to lead Alabama to the national championship
against
versus Georgia.
I mean, it was amazing.
It's not the slow, old school, you know, run up the middle Alabama offense. Now they've got easily one of the best wide receiver squads in college football. And then LSU's not another team to shake a stick at either. I mean, Joe Burrow, he's got a lot of good targets to throw at as well. So it's kind of cool to see the SEC kind of branch over to that high-powered offense and not be so, you know, defense-heavy and boring. So I don't know. Maybe we could see a changing of the guard here. And to kind of note off of that, if that is the case, Saban's been known to change with the times. I mean, I remember watching a thing on remember Terrence Cody back in I think, you know, early on in his tenure, and he was saying Terrence Cody wouldn't be able to make his team now with how it's evolved.
Yeah.
What kind of players they're looking for. So you know, those folks thinking Saban was going to try to win one more and hang it up, I think he's going to keep going as long as possible, and he's been shown to, you know, maintain that change and be able to not be set in his ways with college football and evolve with the game.
Sure. And why not? You know, I still think, you know, I mean, Bama, you know, last year stumbled, you know, against Clemson. Alabama now has a loss on their resume for this year, but again, sitting at five, I think they're sitting pretty. Let's jump over to you had hinted at it. Chase Young had his suspension reduced from 4 games to 2. His timeline setting up against, again, that aforementioned game that you had brought up, Penn State going into the Horseshoe in 2 weeks. That'll be a great Big Ten matchup. But, you know, Penn State has that loss now, as we had already previously had talked about. So, with that, you know, there's one more game I wanted to point out. You just never know with these rivalry games. Michigan State, Michigan, I believe it is, you know, it is at the Big House, but I believe Michigan should run away with this one. I think this Michigan team had only gotten better throughout the season, and Michigan State taking a loss against Illinois last week. Kind of embarrassing.
Yeah,
but,
man.
You know, Michigan State at the beginning of this year had that huge coaching shakeup, and I mean, it's clearly not done any good. So, I mean, I think they're going to put a put a nix on that for next season. It'll be kind of interesting to see what they do in Mark D'Antoni.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd even heard through the grapevine, you know, that there was some shakeup that he might be on the hot seat. So that's going to be interesting. I mean, if they pull off that win, that's going to cool the hot seat to lukewarm. But certainly we've seen some really outstanding games when it comes to those two rivals, and they never seem to disappoint. So I agree with you there.
Yeah, no, and just last bit of information there for college football. Looks like Tua is going to be a game-time decision for the matchup at Mississippi State. Against Mississippi State, I don't think Alabama is going to have much worry about the 4-5 Bulldogs there. But let's jump over to a pretty interesting story that's starting to develop. The Houston Astros recently have been pinpointed as to cheating. There's the story coming out that out in center field, they had a camera which was pointed right underneath the catcher of the opposing teams. And what they were doing is they were watching as the game progressed, they started picking up on their signals. And they were catching these signals as they came along. There was somebody that was piped in to monitor people watching the signs. They were decoding the signs. And then they were essentially informing the Astros hitters. This is I mean, you can't make this up. This is pretty elaborate here. With banging on a trash can. And they would have this kind of code for the hitters to essentially go, you know, one hit, fastball, whatever. That's not what it meant, but I'm just kind of making an example of this. I mean, Major League Baseball is really hurting their image. You had that epidemic with the steroids, the lockout, of course, and now we got teams stealing signs. This isn't the only time this has ever happened, and I just saw today that, you know, this news just recently broke out this week that they said the Red Sox are now under an investigation as well for doing something similar to this. Baseball's only hurting their image, and it's not getting better. Ratings are starting to plummet. They said that I think this was the third lowest watched World Series of all time, this past one against the Houston Astros and the Washington Nationals. What do you make of this, Ben? I mean, this is baffling.
So, you know, I'm 50-50 split on it. Yes, it sounds like a Bill Belichick and the Patriots, coming to the MLB. We got sign gate here. So, part of me is like, how are you doing this? You know, and A, how are you doing this? And B, how is it legal? But I mean, you know, Is it really that bad, or is it the same way that a football coach prepares for an offense, you know, the next week?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Kind of learning that. I talked to a friend of mine that was a baseball coach, and he was telling me, you know, coaching in high school, that he had some kids that played for him on, like, the travel teams and all, you know, the off-season teams, and they knew his signs. So then when he coached the high school, they'd be playing for another high school, and they know his signs, so he had to change them up.
Yeah.
So, you know, from what he kind of told me, there's, you know, it's not like there's any ill will. It happens all the time. You just got to be able to change your signs up. So, and from that standpoint on things, it's probably not as bad. But, I mean, it does, like you said, it does create a bad image. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It baffles me, man. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I want to hear more information, but the crazy part about it is the MLB asked the Houston Astros, and they didn't deny it. If you don't deny something, you're clearly guilty of it. Yeah. I mean, if you're not guilty, you're going to say you're not guilty. No, the Astros just more or less, we'll look into it, and the MLB's like, that's not a good enough answer here. And, Just sad, you know, and maybe it's poetic justice that they lost the World Series. And I mean, this repercussions. I mean, if MLB finds something on this, this is going to be interesting to see what happens. And I don't want to speculate because there's too much speculation. Yes. I think Mike Fiers, wasn't he the one that kind of brought it up?
He's let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
So.
Oh boy, yeah. This will be interesting. Crazy. We'll see. You know, only time will tell. But heck of a thing to look at.
Let's see how it plays out.
Jumping over to the NFL. Some pretty interesting news here. You had brought it to my attention. The Los Angeles Chargers and the possibility of moving to London. You know, this isn't the first time we've ever had there's speculation under, an NFL team wants to go overseas across the pond. We heard it about the Jacksonville Jaguars for years. Do you think this could happen? Do you think there's possibility of the Chargers, you know, they didn't even move to LA, but 5 years ago, I think? I mean, I don't think it was that long. Yeah. And now we're just scrapping this?
Yeah, certainly. I think there's a possibility. I mean, that's a pretty loaded state with teams. I mean, but you do have Oakland that's fixing to go to Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. But then you know you've got the LA Rams, you got the LA Chargers, you got the San Francisco 49ers. Am I missing anybody?
I think that's everybody.
Seattle on the West Coast, but
yeah,
you got Seattle on the West Coast too. But I mean, they're way far north. But I mean, that's a pretty heavy list of teams. They're in one general area. So,
yeah.
Do I think it happens? No, I think they probably stay in the U.S., but could it happen? Mm. I mean, certainly, man. And, I mean, that's going to create a lot of weird stuff as far as scheduling, you know what I mean?
And that's where I kind of bark at it a little bit, because I'm just kind of thinking to myself, like, man, you're really going to kind of put a wrinkle into these players who would essentially have to go fly out to London for, you know, a game every so often, not name the Chargers. The Chargers, it was 2017, they went back to L.A., had been the San Diego Chargers from 61 to 16. Why the Chargers? You know, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think the article had read saying it was a lack of attendance to these games, but it's not just the Chargers. They've shown professional sports in a whole. Attendance is down, and it's because of the fact that we have the capability of MLB.TV, NFL, Red Zone, and we have our phones, and, you know, these games are expensive. I mean, you know, like, you want to change something in sports, let's change the pricing of a beer. I mean, you know, let's change the price of a ticket. You know, and I'm going small scale here, but, like, we can do things to make we can bring fans. We can bring fans to the stadium. You got to look at the pricing. I mean, that's what's killing it.
Well, it's that and the fan experience, you know, in a lot of ways. The Jaguars, you know, here locally are trying to create that fan experience.
Sure.
With, some of the things that they are projecting to do.
Yeah.
I mean, and they've already done an incredible job.
Yeah.
With some of the upgrades that they've made. I mean, that new concert venue is absolutely incredible, and it's a lot of fun to go to Daly's Place.
Yep.
You know, you go hang out in the Bud Zone and stuff. You get to see the stadium. You get to see the old, you know, where the Jaguars play in the house there and enjoy some music and stuff. I mean, that's what it's going to be a lot about is the fan experience. What you have to be able to create an area and an environment where it's going to be better than sitting at your house. You know, what I mean?
But being cramped up in the stadium, you know, especially we're talking about Jacksonville, 100-degree weather, you know, it's only hotter, you know, closer to the field. Sure. And I agree with you, you know, like and you'd seen it, you know, kind of like baseball has done a really good job of that. I would say you don't just go to these games anymore. Yeah. It is about the experience.
Oh,
you know,
no.
One thing that comes to mind.
Absolutely.
Was with
Braves, man.
The Braves, yeah. That's exactly what I was about to say. SunTrust Park, and they got, you know, the Chop House that you can go to, and, you know, just like the Jaguars, you know, you got the Bud Zone, and I think that's what we need to do. I say I'm all for it. I love going to games, but I don't like spending $200, $300, $400, $500 for a ticket and food, and it can get insane. So I mean, if the sports really is interested in trying to bring people back to the stadium, start with the pricing. And I just think, you know, who doesn't like getting more out of less money? You know what I mean? With yeah, go ahead, Ben. Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to point out another NFL news. Browns cut Antonio Callaway today.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I think he'll be scooped up pretty quick. I mean, did they say why they did? I mean, is this kind of like one of those he kind of played his way
facing
out?
Another suspension.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, facing another suspension, and then Vernon Hargreaves got cut by the Buccaneers. For, I guess, lack of effort.
No. Well, I mean, it's Tampa Bay, but I don't know. You know, it is funny. I mean, you see some teams, like Josh Gordon's a guy I can think of off the top of my head. How many times was he suspended for marijuana and stuff? But, you know, everybody, he's got all the talent in the world. Antonio Callaway coming out of Florida, you know, I always looked at him. I was like, man, this guy's going to do something, but really hasn't panned out yet. But, you know, the Browns, man, they're in a heap of trouble themselves. But they're, you know, Thursday night football. I mean, stay in the NFL real quick. We do have the Pittsburgh Steelers who are surging as of late. Against the Browns. That'll be a fun little game there. You know, staying in that conference and everything. And, you know, while we're talking about cutting, how do we not talk about the Dallas Cowboys right now? Jason Garrett. I mean, I feel like we've been talking about Jason Garrett for the last decade, but Dallas is, how many more excuses can you make for a guy who's a career 84-66 coach? I mean, what more do you want from this guy? In the postseason, he's 2-3. I mean, he must know somebody or befriended somebody up there in Dallas, because you got to wonder what Jerry Jones is thinking here anymore. I look at Jason Garrett, and it reminds me of, and just staying with the Dallas Cowboys, he reminds me of the Tony Romo of coaches. Tony Romo being that quarterback for Dallas for as long as he was, and you know, there towards the end was really just wasn't doing anything, kept choking in the playoffs, but Dallas kept running him out there. No, he's our quarterback. Well, now Jason Garrett, you hear it all the time, Jerry Jones, he's our coach. How much longer can this last? I mean, Dak Prescott has only gotten better. You have one of the best running backs in Ezekiel Elliott. You have Amari Cooper this year, who almost feels like non-existent, I feel like. And I could just be, you know, I'm just kind of firing off the top of my head. You have some really great players. And it really is starting to boil down to who else more can you blame? You know, the coaches all get, they're all the scapegoats, but something's got to be done. And I don't know what's your take on, you know, Jason Garrett, and then we'll jump into the whole coaching. You know, this is a huge coaching carousel. It's not just the NFL; it's just all throughout sports right now. What's your take on the Cowboys and Jason Garrett this year?
You point out a good thought process there. The head coach definitely takes a lot of either the success or a lot of the negativity based off what's going on with this team.
Sure.
Man, I tell you what, I think it's kind of a case of where they may need to move on and see what else is out there.
You know who's
got a ton of talent.
You know who I feel like is going to be out there, and I know I'm not, you know, any I'm not taking not so this isn't a hot take or anything, but Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma. You almost got to kind of wonder if he takes a loss against Baylor. I don't think it's going to happen, but if he takes a loss against Baylor, I'm not going to be surprised if they come calling up. Because I mean, shoot, look what, you know, he's done with the quarterbacks the last few years, Lincoln Riley, that is, in Oklahoma. Look what he's doing with Jalen Hurts. Think about him and Dak Prescott. I mean, he might be able to unlock something in Dak that really could put Dallas over the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lincoln Riley is definitely an offensive supermind. I think that guy would do incredible things with Dak Prescott as well,
and that
body of work that he has.
Sure.
with those players.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, man. It if I was a Cowboys fan, that's who I would want.
Yeah.
And he's you know, I think it's like Urban Meyer said. Urban Meyer even said, I believe on Cowherd, you know, if you were going to go somewhere from OU, you'd have to think about going to Dallas.
The big time.
If Dallas calls and offers.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and why wouldn't you? Ben, why don't you get into a little bit of the coaching carousel, again, not just in the NFL, but in sports in general. I mean, we got some coaches coming and going here left and right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So most recently, Chad Morris was fired from Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Did not win an SEC game in his coaching tenure. I believe he was 0-14 versus SEC schools.
That's crazy.
He's 18-38 overall as a college head coach. 18-40. My bad.
Ooh, boy.
As a college head coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's got Texas roots. He went to Texas A&M, coached high school in Texas. I would have thought, you know, as close as Arkansas is to Texas, you know, he could have had great success with Arkansas.
Sure.
I really loved the hire back in 2017. I thought he was an up-and-coming coach. Obviously, he coached at Clemson, as offensive coordinator and QB's coach. And, you know, I thought really grinding his teeth there at SMU would gear him towards a bigger job, maybe even if Dabo were to, you know, leave Clemson, then he would be maybe one of the top candidates to replace him. You know, thankfully Dabo stayed at Clemson and they haven't had to search for a coach. But man, I just can't say anything other than that I'm shocked, man, because I really had high hopes for this guy. I think he's a great offensive mind as well.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I'm thinking off the top of my head. I know, and again, just kind of jumping around a little bit, just in sports in general. I know the Browns head coach was kind of on the hot seat there for a minute, but, you know, they went and took that win against, I want to say, Denver last week. That probably saves him for a little bit. He's interesting. San Francisco Giants went and got ex-Phillies skipper Gabe Kapler. This I found was interesting. I think this is almost kind of the perfect storm in a very bad way for the San Francisco Giants. And the reason I say that is the Giants are a mess. They have contracts with Buster Posey. They have a diminishing outfield. When you got Pablo Sandoval, when you got Panda sitting there at third base, who, no, mind you, is getting paid by the Boston Red Sox. I mean, that's, you know, a huge plus. But when you got him at third, you're going to lose Bumgarner this year. Their pitching staff is shaky at best. They found the perfect hire. And the reason I say that is I think Gabe Kapler, I think the reason he lost his job in Philly was the fact that he smiled. I know that sounds crazy, but he smiled so much and everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine. That doesn't work. That doesn't work in Philly. That will work in San Francisco.
Yeah.
They need a guy who is going to be Mr. Positivity when things are real and things are not looking up for the Giants here. And it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while.
Yeah. You can almost say, Rob, that San Francisco and the Angels kind of sort of did the same thing as far as their managerial hirings, because in a lot of ways, I think Madden's the same way, and they just, you know, what is it? I guess it's a California state of mind or what? You know what I mean? So, yeah, you're right. I agree with you definitely that they needed a positivity guy, and he's going to lead them out of the ditches there that they're in right now. I mean, the Braves almost sort of did the same thing with Brian Snitker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. And I was talking about the Browns head coach. It's Freddie Kitchens, by the way. I do apologize. But, yeah, Freddie Kitchens, I think, might have kind of just saved his job for a little bit. And the Browns, and kind of just jumping back just a little bit, the Browns have a pretty favorable schedule going forward. So, I mean, I'm not going to be shocked to see Kitchens, who I want to say is in his first year. I wouldn't be shocked to see them. He kind of pull back on the Browns having to let him go anytime soon. But I mean, you're the Browns. What do you have to lose? I mean, that's just my take on things with when it comes to teams like the Cleveland Browns. But yeah, hey, I just
go ahead
real quick.
Something random.
Go ahead.
Kyle Bearclaw looks like he's with the Giants right now. They got him for, I don't know if it was for a trade or what it was. They got him from the Nationals, so I think it. But that was a kid that you and I were kind of high on.
Yeah, I mean, he always looked pretty promising in the Miami bullpen. Who now, speaking of, it does appear as if the Atlanta Braves just signed ex-Giants closer Will Smith. Just got a nice little piece there for their bullpen, the lefty. So I wouldn't even be shocked to see Bearclaw probably close out games for the Giants. How many games that'll be next year, I don't know. But the Giants, they're in a world of hurt. And but again, I think Gabe Kapler's that guy to pretty much just keep assuring everybody everything's fine, everything's fine. But, you know, we'll see. Coaching-wise, can you think of anybody else off the top of your head that we may have missed? Anybody that was hired, anybody let go, or maybe even potentially on the hot seat?
Muschamp was probably on the hot seat.
Muschamp's on the hot seat. Yeah, you're losing it. You know, as we had said earlier, Appalachian State lost to Tennessee this year. You had that big win against Georgia, but right now it's not looking too good. We did notice, to kind of circle back with Arkansas, you had brought this to my attention. Butch Jones is potentially being considered. Have fun with that Razorbacks. I don't know so much about that hiring. It's didn't look good in Tennessee, and I don't know. What do you think?
Well, we also got Charlie Strong that's on the hot seat. Fuente is probably about lukewarm at Virginia Tech. Jeremy Pruitt looks to have found something in his team. They've been looking pretty good here lately. Lovie Smith with that big upset win.
And first eligibility for Illinois since how long?
I would hang on to that man as long as possible.
I do too. Always been a big fan. I know we both are. Big fan of of Lovie Smith. Thought he got a raw deal with the Bears a while ago. And the Big Ten's got some pretty good coaches. I mean, you know, we talked about PJ Fleck a little bit last week. You know, look what he's done since coming over from Western Michigan. Lovie Smith, James Franklin. You have Ohio State's head coach. I'm blanking off the top of my head.
Ryan Day.
Ryan Day, thank you. You know, he's done a brilliant job since Urban Meyer skipped out of town. And, Mark D'Antoni, I know this year has been struggling, but still great. You know, of course, you got Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Big Ten's got some coaches. I mean, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you what, there's one guy that we haven't really talked about yet, and it's big news as far as out in on the West Coast is Clay Helton at USC.
There you go. There's
a lot of talks.
Yeah. Good thinking.
Yeah, a lot of talks with USC, you know, trying to pursue Urban Meyer very heavily. And, you know,
they're
going
to get
him. Said in some prior podcasts that, you know, why not? Why not Urban Meyer go to USC?
They're gonna get
what's
him.
He going to do? He's already done big things in the Big Ten. He's done big things in the SEC. So why not head over to the Pac-12?
Why not? Why not? So, you know, I had heard supposedly that's the reason why he went to FS1. They're a West Coast. And I had also heard supposedly, maybe an insider, if you will, told me that he moved his family out to California. I'm not going to be shocked. It almost appears as if Clay Helton's kind of worked himself out of that job somehow, some way. It's probably USC's tired of waiting around. I know that, you know, they did have that triumphant win in 2016, I want to say, in the Rose Bowl against Penn State. But, man, since then, they've really been struggling. And to keep circling back, I think we just need to call this the circling back episode of the podcast. Illinois, first bowl
this
eligibility. welcome to the U-turn. I'm kidding. First time Illinois has been bowl eligible since 2014. So kudos to you, Lovie Smith. And that beard he has is just magnificent. One coach I can think of off the top of my head that I know is only a matter of time until this dude is canned. Fizdale, the head coach for the New York Knicks. The brass recently came out when they were 2-8 in the first 10 games, essentially saying, this isn't what we were expecting. This isn't, you know, this isn't Knick basketball. Yeah, it's been Knick basketball. The last 20 years, the Knicks have been just utter.
Decades.
This is terrible. Just terrible. And now they're more or less trying to throw everything. You know, they're throwing without saying it. And I believe Stephen A. Smith recently did say it, and it makes sense. Without firing him, they fired him without saying it.
Yeah.
And
Who
did the Knicks get? I mean, David Fizdale, in my honest opinion, you know, I want to say this is his second year. I don't know if I've believed in him in past seasons, but they gotta find somebody, and it's not the coach, man. James Dolan is the guy who's been running this team for way too long, and the New York Knicks remind me of the Chicago Cubs when the Cubs hadn't won a World Series in over 100 years. They are essentially capitalizing on the fact that they have such a dedicated fan base that'll come to Madison Square Garden every time the Knicks are playing, and they're making tons of money off of them. And the fan base mm-hmm. doesn't quit, you know? It took the Cubs to essentially going, all right, you know, went and got who's the coach you just recently brought up? Went to the Angels just recently.
Madden.
They went and got their man in Madden. They had gotten the mm-hmm. Vice president from the Red Sox after they had their falling out. I don't want to have to circle back to it. What is his name? what is his name? Shoot. Young kid. And not even the vice president. Theo Epstein, not the vice president. My apologies.
Theo.
You know, and it took a bright mind to do it. And the Knicks are in need of a change. James Dolan's got to go. They gotta replace this guy. The Knicks, year in, year out, they're going to get their guy in the draft. Hasn't happened. They had Porzingis. There was a falling out with Porzingis last year. They trade him. The Knicks are they're a mess. I think in all of sports, I would think the Knicks have got to be a top five. I should say bottom five worst franchise.
I would throw the Lions in there too.
You could throw the Lions, absolutely. The Lions have had arguably, you know, let's just say top two. I don't know what you want to say. Well, I was going to say real quick, Barry Sanders. Yeah. You know, you had a top two of all time running back, Barry Sanders. Yeah, and you had Megatron. Sure. You've had Matt Stafford, who has just had a brilliant career and just essentially just gets the raw end of the stick because they can't put players around him. And that's not the player's fault, you know, but the Knicks, man, it's just from top mm-hmm. to bottom. They've been horrible. And now that's it. They're going to call mm-hmm. out the coach. Now there's players coming out saying it's not Fizdale, but that's it. You know, it's like you said, man, when things are good, the coach is good. When things are bad, the coach is bad. I mean, it's just as simple as that. That's sports 101. And off the top of my head, those are a few coaches I can think of. Anybody else you can think of coach wise, Ben?
Not off the top of my head right now, but one coach that better watch out is his whole Kentucky with that 67-64 loss to Evansville.
Yes. Yeah, no, very Kentucky's good point. Fan won't, you're talking about college basketball real quick. Number one, Kentucky.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it takes a fall to Evansville. Shocking. 67-64. Didn't see that coming. I don't think anybody did. That was a couple nights ago.
Somebody lost a lot of money in Vegas on that one.
yeah, that looked like, no pun intended, a slam dunk, and that's not the case. let's get into, Ben, let's get into Colin Kaepernick. He's coming back, back in the news. 32-year-old Colin Kaepernick holding a private workout for some teams. It looks as if it had been reported. Detroit, Miami, Atlanta, Tampa Bay, Denver, Washington, and Arizona are all planning to attend. Team that sticks out in my eyes in Miami. Why not? Washington, why not? Yeah, Dwayne Haskins doesn't look ready. Yeah. What's your thoughts on this? I really would love to put away the narrative with Colin Kaepernick about the kneeling thing. This doesn't have to do with the kneeling. This has to do with football. Mm-hmm. Outright. And who do you think of those teams, or maybe not even of those teams, who can you see? I mean, crap, you know, why not? Why not take a chance on Colin Kaepernick? I mean, supposedly he's been working out, preparing for football the last few years. You know, well,
those are two teams that you named specifically in Washington and in Miami that really are having quarterback troubles right now. Another team that, you know, might want to take a close look as the Chicago Bears.
There you go. Nail on the head. I agree completely.
Teddy, one of those three teams is going to get Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes, I agree.
It's assured.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, somebody needs to have a backup plan. And I'm going to go ahead and roll the dice and say that Chicago probably gets Teddy. And then you're going to look at Washington and Miami, no pun intended, having to back up and punt here. I agree with you. These quarterback ridden teams that need somebody, man. I mean, why not?
Exactly.
The guy's been sitting on the bench he's not been taking any hits or anything, and his body's going to be right. And
yeah,
and I agree with you. Let's put that narrative to bed about about the whole kneeling thing, and let's just kind of move on and play football.
Let's give him a job. Who immediately comes to mind now is Mike Vick. I mean, you know, he had that. That whole dog thing, and the NFL forgave him. Other teams forgave him, and he came back and had a couple. Was it two or three like pretty strong years? I know with the Eagles, and then he ended this. His career with the Steelers. But I think why? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree, man. You know those Dolphin fans are tired. They are so tired of waiting around. Give them something. And same thing with Washington. Yeah, I mean, these teams have been pathetic, for lack of a better term. They've been pathetic for a long time. And then their fans are tired of it. Give them something. And give Colin Kaepernick a chance, man. I think time's up. And
was it you that said that the 1972 Dolphins could probably beat the current Dolphins squad?
That it wasn't me, but I could see it. The Dolphins are bad. Just really bad. And they went and they traded for who's the quarterback that was originally with Arizona so they could go and get
they got
Kyler
Ryan
Murray.
Ryan Fitz.
Fitzpatrick.
Tannehill.
It wasn't Tannehill. Tannehill's with the Titans. Off the top of my head. Kid from Cal.
Dang it.
It's going to bother me, but it looks like they're already starting to kind of move on from him. Josh Rosen. Thank you. Uh-huh. Josh Rosen. Okay. Hey, real quick, news just broke out. Cody Bellinger, MVP, National League. First Dodger to win it since Kershaw. And I think we should probably go ahead and just talk about that as well. You know, they've been dishing out some hardware lately. Justin Verlander, Cy Young against the Astros. You know, I kind of was leaning more towards Gerrit Cole, but, you know, Verlander, you know, still had just a great season. And then the National League Cy Young DeGrom. Was Doug DeGrom 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Absolutely, man. I like that.
I do too, you know, and then Rookie of the Year again with the Mets. You had the polar bear, you know, at first base breaking polar records, bear. And I think I think all are deserving. I mean, I'd being completely honest. Again, you know, like I was kind of leaning towards more Cole, but
And Yordan Alvarez for the Astros.
Yes,
there for
Yordan Alvarez, who's that guy's going to be a monster, man. He just hits, man. He just like I always hate kind of using that, but man, when he hits a ball, you almost just expect that thing going over the wall every time. That dude's got some just crazy power.
Yeah. He's huge. He's 6'5", man.
He's huge. He's super huge. Let's jump in and let's wrap this up here. Sidney Crosby out 6 weeks. I know we don't talk about the NHL much, so I definitely wanted to get that thrown out there. That's a huge blow to, you know, to Pittsburgh.
It's detrimental to the Penguins.
He's been the face of that franchise for a long time now. The Rockets are doing well. You know, this was something I know I really wanted to talk about this because that was something I brought up. Everybody and the hot take was there's no way Russell Westbrook and there's no way Russell Westbrook and James Harden were going to exist. There's no way, there's no way, there's no way. That's the problem with reporting these days. Why are we so attached to the hot take that we don't even allow things to kind of try to work itself out? These are grown men now. This isn't the same two players that played on Oklahoma City with Kevin Durant. These are grown-ups. Both these guys want to win. The Rockets have been so close the past few years. James Harden is an MVP. Every time he's an MVP candidate, every time he walks out onto the court, and Russell Westbrook is a scorer, and I'm really happy to see this. I want to say they're 8-2, and I'm happy to see that. I feel like 99% of everybody who claims themselves to be an NBA analyst so far has been wrong about 8-3. 8-3. Okay. But
8-3, yeah.
You know, I'm very happy to see this, and I hope this coexists. Yeah. I hope this works out. And
I did too. I mean, that's good chemistry. You got
sure.
I really like, you know, Doc Rivers and what he's done in his resume.
Oh yeah.
He's probably one of my favorite NBA coaches. And
absolutely.
You know, sure. These guys, at the end of the day, man, they're there to win. They're grown ups, like you said. Now
exactly.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a job, and at the end of the day, the common goal is to win. So
yeah.
I think they're gonna, you know, make that chemistry work, you know?
I do too, and I really do hope. I hope Houston finally gets the title that I believe that James Harden deserves, that I do believe that Doc Rivers, as you said, who, you know, is a prestigious coach with the Celtics, and he was with the Clippers, couldn't get the Clippers over the hump, not his fault, but I mean, if he can make this work, Doc Rivers will look a genius. He'll look like a genius. And the Rockets will look, you know, their front office will look amazing, you know, with this trade. Mm-hmm. Real quick, just one more thought. NBA load management. A lot of people are against it. I am not. I completely am on board with this. People are always complaining about these stars sitting out games. Yeah, you know, the crowd that goes to pay for these tickets, yeah, they're missing out on watching for that game. You know, Kawhi Leonard, somebody that comes to mention. The Clippers put a lot of money into Kawhi Leonard's back pocket. And why not watch these players' minutes like we do with pitchers, mind you, in baseball? With inning limits, mm-hmm. why don't we want these guys' longevities? You know, we want long careers. We want to watch Kawhi Leonard win one with the Clippers. Stop harping on silly things. I mean, let these guys, if this is the way it is, and I believe with Kawhi Leonard, he even was upfront about it, like, if I'm signing with you, Los Angeles, I need certain games off. And they were on board with it, and so should we.
Yeah.
So with that, I want to... Ben, like, yeah, please, sorry, I'm my bad.
It's kind of like with... Oh, you're good. It's kind of like football with the defensive linemen.
Sure.
They got a small tank, and when that tank is empty, they need to rest so they can rest up for those big moments. So
absolutely,
bigger guys in the NBA, that's why it's good to have, you know, a pretty
depth.
Decent bench sitting over there.
Yeah, you gotta have depth.
Having the depth is what it's all about. And you know, hey, you paid the money to you know, come see this guy play, but he's going to play a lot better if he's fresh.
Exactly. Because what do you care more about, the regular season or the playoffs? And which one do you want more? And you know Kawhi Leonard is going to be playing. If the Clippers need him, if they need him, we need this game. It's, you know, game 82. You playoffs. Know he's not sitting that out. He's in there. And that dude, man, I'll give you one thing about Kawhi Leonard. I am so impressed with this guy. And I think come career's end, we might be talking about a top 10 player here. That guy gives it his all. We're talking about guys that play fourth quarter. You know, four quarters, excuse me. And James Harden's another one of those players, man. They put their heart and soul into this game. And if from time to time, he wants to take a day off. Heck, we have jobs. Are there days that we check out? Yeah. You know, I'm not saying these players are checking out, but they have the same right. They have the same. They deserve the same right. And, you know, he's like, you know, don't get me wrong. I've done it. I'm sure everybody else is guilty of it. You wake up one day, I don't feel like working. Hey, mind if I can't come in today. Let's let this roll. I think this isn't that big of a deal. And again, I think it's only better for the game because these guys' careers won't flame out as soon. And I want to make one more real quick comparison. You said defensive ends. What about running backs? How many teams have 2 to 3 running backs that are just cycling in and out? And we do that why? So they can preserve their legs for when it matters most. And that's what this load management is for the NBA. It's just under a different name. And with that, Benny, anything else you'd like to add?
Nope. That about wraps everything up. We'll talk with everybody very soon. We got a big weekend of college football coming up.
We do. And Saturday, we will be talking during the before and during and probably even after the games. So be on the lookout for that. Until then, guys, enjoy your sports.
It's Bold City Sports Talk with Rob Mascio.